Let's do five for everyone. There's not many people here. So, Bryce Sexaholic, The Promises. I need to re-review this. I fear there's a number of promises in this program. So, one is that I can have a spiritual awakening, because that was the first kind of paragraph, and that the drink problem, the lust problem, will, quote, disappear, unquote. And part of the reason I wanted to lead this is because when I was at the International Convention in Dallas, there were a number of people during like these Q&A sessions, and they didn't quite come out and ask, but I could tell that the big thing they were asking is like, is there a point to all of this? Is there a payoff? And I'm like, there's a reason we have the promises, and there is a payoff. And they're really hoping to hear that this is worth it, that this isn't like some kind of just desert of nothingness, of just barrenness and just survival for the sake of survival. I'm like, no, there's a beauty that comes about because of recovery. And one of them is like, certainly the obsession, the compulsion of the addiction has been lifted from me. So I'm no longer enslaved by my addiction. It no longer gets to call the shots. But boy, oh boy, am I still an addict. And I'm not free of my defects of character. And lust is still there. The temptations still exist. There's temptations here at the conference. There's people I surrender. But I'm no longer seeking those people to get high off of, or as to be the source of my satisfaction or pleasure. And so the surrenders don't really have this crazy roller coaster anymore. And instead, it's just like I'm kind of even keel now, because I have found this. And so the spiritual life is not a theory, but I have to live it. I have to make the choice. And one of the things that troubled me about the promises is that they are part of step 9. And thank God, a lot of the promises started coming true for me before I got to step 9, because that gave me the hope to keep going. Because I did find serenity. I did find aspects of peace. I found happiness and joy in many different ways. I found that I could be useful to others and to myself. But what I didn't realize was that I really did have to do step 9 for the promises to blossom. And I dreaded it. I dreaded step 9. I dreaded being held responsible for all the wrongs that I did. And like it or not, like I really thought of step 9 as the punishment step. Here's where finally the punishment finally happens. And everyone I did an amends to reacted so positively, and oftentimes very baffled, because they're like, I don't understand why you're making an amends at all. And I just recently finished an amends with an old coworker that, and I really burned that bridge hard. And I found out that he's in the late stages of stage 4 cancer. And I finally got to meet up with him and do an amends. And he was confused. And he's like, Bryce, that was a long time ago. And I'm like, but it was wrong. Like I was supposed to be your friend, and I did not behave as a friend should behave. And he's like, Bryce, like, let's just stay in touch. And that's what he wanted. that was what he wanted. And in every time I've done an amends, I'm like, I'm waiting for the punishment. Like, surely this is the time where finally, you know, I'm revealed to the world as this garbage human being that I am. And it's over and over and over again. All I've heard is that I've been valued all my life by my friends. And I'm so confused. And I kind of vented on my sponsor, because I don't understand. Because we talk about the wreckage of the past, and here I am trying to make amends for it. And all anyone tells me is like, Bryce, I just miss you. Because some of the people I had to make amends for are like, you know, they're across the country. And they're like, I just wish we could hang out. It's like, that's the hurt that I feel. and you know, and so a lot of this weight I've carried of self-judgment has been lifted, and I fought the forgiveness, because I'm like, no, I need to be held responsible. And it's like, no, Bryce, you don't need to be held responsible. And the real lasting amends I've learned that, you know, what's the living amends? And it's like, you know, to not go back to those old behaviors, and to be given the gift that I don't have to go back to that way of being, of hurting people, you know, being so cruel to others. And I can now live this life that I guess I never knew I wanted to live before, and where I'm really at peace with myself, and I can live to the values that I always had. I just could not obey because I was in such a place of darkness and self-hatred. And so, yeah, the self-seeking slipped away. It's I got a problem with self-seeking, man. I remember one guy like asked, like, what is self-seeking? And I'm like, well, it's selfishness, really, right? It's me. It's still there. Boy, oh boy. Like, there's still this piece of Bryce that is like, what about me? I'm like, buddy, like, you're taken care of. Like, you got it all. And it helps to be a sponsor because, like, when I talk to my sponsee, and one of my sponsees, he's down a lot. He's like, oh, man, my life's so horrible. I'm like, what are you talking about? You got a wonderful wife who adores you. You got extraordinary children. You got a great house, career, job. Like, you do philanthropy. You got nice cars. Like, what do you mean, poor me? Like, what is so horrible in your life? And he just sits there and he's like, I don't know, but I believe this. I'm like, I know you believe it. You're like me. But like, you could be free of all this if you just accept the program and God and walk with God. And so, like, yeah, man, the promises do come true for me. And I need these kinds of meetings to talk about this because I forget. I'm just like him. I forget that I'm in the promises, that I have them, and that there's so many blessings in recovery. Like, life is easier now. But there's a dark place in Bryce's head that craves the hard way, the chaos and the misery. And it's like, how about we just don't go there anymore? How about we stay here, stay in the light? But it's sometimes it's too simple. And that's where the craziness in me is. It's like, I crave the harder, chaotic way. So I'm grateful to be able to share this because it's like, yeah, I need to recommit to let's do God's way. It's easier. And it's so much better and more rewarding. Okay, we're going to now open the meeting for sharing so as many people can share. Please keep your shares to 5 minutes. And we ask that sharing be pertinent to the topic of the promises. We don't take the inventories of others. That is, we uncover and work on our own defects, not those of others. We avoid politics, religious dogma, and other divisive issues. We avoid explicit sexual descriptions and sexually disrespectful, abusive language. If someone feels a share is too explicit, they may so signify by raising their hand. We do lead with our weakness and take the risk of total self-disclosure. Please come up to the microphone and introduce yourself by your first name before sharing. The meeting is now open.
I'll be first. Someone's got to be first. So
that's right.
Might as well be me. My last name starts with A, so I'm always the first anyway. So anyway, John Sexaholic. And I was thinking about the promises. I was thinking about as we were talking about this. It says, and we will know peace. That's one of the big ones right there. Because before SA, I had nothing but, and even when I was in SA, and I shared at the last meeting, if I wasn't in working sobriety, if I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, working for recovery, then I was in, my mind was in chaos and turmoil. Worry came very easy to me about what's going to happen in the future, thinking, always having 1 foot in the future and one in the past. And as I heard, you know, crapping on today, you know, and so I just said, okay, as I work the program, as I work the steps, help others, participate in the fellowship of the program, like I said earlier, or the last session, I get to help people. And part of that, what it does to me, and I'll share my own, what happened recently, I had a job, was let go from it back because I didn't make my numbers. You know, it was a sales job, and that happens. And I said, okay. So rather than using alcohol or lust to act out with those things, you know, I joined AA earlier this year, which helped because the alcohol was causing me to uninstall filters, go online and look at stuff. Even if I wasn't acting out with myself, that wasn't quality sobriety. I didn't want technical sobriety. I wanted recovery. And as I started working my recovery again this year, even though I was without a job for a while, and my unemployment ran out. I had no income. And people say, what about your savings? I said, what savings? Come on, they're all used up. And so God, I had this tremendous amount of peace with me. I was doing a lot of AA meetings, a lot of SA meetings, wherever I could find them, and being of service. And I just had this, like, I just had this peace with me the whole time. I don't know if it's just my peace or God's peace, but that was with me. And I just noticed that this is one of the promises. Then all of a sudden I got a email from a recruiter. He said, this job, it's a temp job for 6 months, possibly, you know, with extension, or it might be permanent. So I'm in that right now. I got that a couple weeks after my unemployment ran out. And I said, you know what? I had this peace the whole time. And I didn't have to turn to lust. I didn't have to turn to alcohol. I didn't have to turn to anything else. I think the worst thing I had was ice cream. I said, okay, I could do ice cream. Then I'll probably finally move into a third program. Like they say, if you don't have not working three programs, you're in denial. And so I'll probably do a food program next. But, you know, I just, that promise is true. I have God's peace, and I have that peace with me right now as I just am experiencing the promises. Like he's restoring a job to me. He's restoring, you know, I'm building up a lot of friendship that I haven't had in our program for a while. I'm just meeting people that are becoming, because I've doing things outside of regular meetings with other members, just having fellowship. Like I had for Labor Day, I had a Labor Day get together at my place. We had a barbecue. We played games. I made a homemade pie. So next time you guys come over, I'm making homemade pie or cake. So you guys are invited. But and I think each one of these promises, they do come true. They don't come true all at once, or maybe even in the way that I expect them to come, but they do come true. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks.
Thank you, John.
I'm Stephen. I'm a grateful sexaholic.
Stephen.
Part of the promises for me that I've come to discover as I'm working the program is how it grounds me in the present moment. A lot of my acting out behavior and the underlying insanity within that resulted in me taking those behavioral actions was pursuit of some selfish will, something I don't have but I want, so like future-oriented. I'm going to drive myself, strive, pine to get that thing, but then the promises say self-seeking will slip away, okay? And I've come to experience that, where there will be a desire that I have to pursue something illicit or even something good, and not feeling the need to immediately make a decision towards that or to let it go, or I don't know, call my sponsor, call somebody, talk to somebody, engage in dialogue and relationship about it in the present moment. And then maybe that thing that I initially desired doesn't actually materialize, or I get to the heart of what I'm actually wanting, which maybe is to be seen and loved and accepted, as a share from the speaker meeting last night reiterated. And then I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. So now looking at the past and dwelling in it and staying stuck in the past and moping and wallowing in what was, or, you know, the good old days kind of mentality. Same thing, except now I'm orienting myself towards the past and I'm not able to actually be responsible and accountable for the things that I did in the past, but I'm using my obsession with the past to try to avoid responsibility. It's ironic, but that's what I would do. And that would give me an excuse to act out. Well, look at all the crazy stuff I've done. I'm horrible. I'm going to go act out, right? So it's like, whether I'm oriented towards the future or oriented towards the past, the one thing I'm avoiding is actually the present. And the acting out experience was just, I was getting out of my mind and body, was not present to my emotions or my feelings or my thoughts. So the promises, literally as I read them, it grounds me back in reality. It grounds me back in the present. especially as I begin to taste the experience of those promises in action in sober recovery. Without sober recovery, I don't experience the promises. And I used to read them and or hear them read at the end of every SA meeting, and was like, there's no way that's going to happen. That's not possible. And in a way, it is impossible. There was a mention in the previous meeting about miracles, like don't quit before the miracle happens. Well, part of the miracle for me is experiencing the impossible through the expression of the promises in my life and seeing that develop in others. That's why service is so important for me, because I have to remind myself it's not just me, myself, and I on my own little tunnel. I have to open myself to others, share my experience, strength, and hope, and be receptive to experience strength and hope from others so that I can see the promises play out, not just in my own life, but see it in the lives of others. That's why these conferences are so important. That's why sponsorship is so important for me, being sponsored and sponsoring others. Like, because otherwise, it's, you know, I spiral deeper into myself, and it's going to lead me right back to where I started. But I'm grateful for where I started, because it gave me a context to see, oh, wow, like, this is what life, apart from the hope of the promises, looks like. But I'm also coming to see what my higher power is cultivating in my life through the experience of being in these rooms, working the steps, and frankly, I mean, the steps working me. And I have recently stepped into the amends process in my own recovery journey and have given away a handful of them. And you know, similar experience to what has been shared, it has been the most healing, affirming inner work of my whole recovery so far, because it's revealing to me the most unexpected mirrors to my soul. It's like helping me see, like, no, I'm not that horrible, shitty person that I was telling myself I was. And even if there's pain, like when I gave my amends to my wife, which was one of many of a living amends to her, thank you, acknowledging time, the joy of being able to have a renewed intimacy and connection with her in the present, the promises came true in our marriage in that moment, because I was able to show up with my whole self and be present to her response. And she shared some constructive things and some areas where she had seen me grow and areas where I'm continuing to grow. And it was real intimacy, and it was sober, and it was real, and it was honest, and it was beautiful. So that's what the hope of recovery is for me, and I'm grateful to be in this program, to be a sexaholic. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, Stephen.
Hi, James Sexaholic.
Hi, James.
This is something that was always, you know, hard for me to accept, that I even deserved any of these kind of promises. I, too, was stuck in a dark way of thinking, you know, thinking that I was a burden, that I was useless, worthless, you know, inadequate, unworthy, alone, and afraid. And my insides never matched the outsides that I saw in others. You know, I could be happy for other people and see good things happening to them, but when good things happened to me, it made me nervous. It made me fearful. Like, I felt like I didn't deserve any of this goodness, and they were wrong for happening to me. It's weird to get gifts from people. I just, you know, felt really, really bad and dark and down on myself. So a lot of these promises is unwinding a lot of that. It's dispelling a lot of those lies that I believed throughout my life that compounded over, you know, 40 plus years, to the point where, you know, I was actively rejecting good stuff in my life. I had a, you know, like was shared earlier, you know, I was living that good life, but I felt like it was a lie and that it could just vanish at any moment. And sure enough, I contributed to that loss. I think because deep down I did believe that I didn't deserve any of that, that I always had this habit of doom tripping and projecting and seeing myself what the future held for me. And it was always bleak. It was laying in a ditch, dying with my last breath, all alone and cold. And that's what I thought, what I felt, and what I thought I deserved. But that's not what my higher power wants. And I'm slowly learning that through working the steps and going to meetings, hearing shares, connecting with other people. I'm seeing, you know, that their higher power has what he has for me being revealed in these promises, that no, I'm not useless. I have a purpose. I was created for good, to be good in this world and to serve others. And there is a point. There is a point to it. There's a point to me being here. There's a reason why I wake up every morning that I can be grateful for. Daily practices of gratitude has helped tremendously with that. It's turned around not thinking that the blessings and gifts that I receive every day are undeserved, but they are deserved. They're gifts. They're gifts I can use and I can share. And in doing so, I could help spread these promises to others. And I'm starting to see a change, an unraveling, a dissolving of the old way of thinking. That old way of thinking will leave. That sense of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. And I find that actually happening. I'm still a long ways from step 9, and that's already going on. You know, I've come in to accept, you know, and that I am a sexaholic, and there's freedom in that. It's no longer this nebulous, just bad feeling that's been stirring inside me, unknown. It has a identity now, and it has a means of being addressed through recovery. And with that, I'm just really grateful to be coming to this. This is my first type of convention, and it's great to be here. It's great to hear all the shares, all the pertinent topics that, you know, really get me thinking, thinking about all the ways that recovery helps and dispels these old lies and old ways of thinking. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the promises work out. I'm actually looking forward to reaching steps 8 and 9 now, not so scared of them anymore. So thanks for all the previous shares, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
James.
Get up there. I don't want to be the last person.
So far, you guys get an A++ for mic technique, so that's great.
All right.
Appreciate that. But yeah, the promise is Richard, lustaholic.
Hey, Richard. Hey, Richard.
Addicted to lust. 30 years in the program, came in June or July, about 1995. So, and there's some people here that, were you here too? Oh my gosh.
December of 95.
Wow. And Gary W. Was here already. And I saw Peter, and yeah, some faces there that are It's great. I know some of you here too, so thank you for coming. And this is, the promise is coming true for me. And an old man getting weepy, you better not do that. But, you know, that's the promises, is seeing guys in the program, and people in the program, I should say, because it's men and women, but see how it's worked in their lives over the years. And they've been knocked around. And most of it's been done, you know, willingly. They got knocked around because, you know, it takes a while for us to get our willingness in place and realize that, I'm the problem, and to keep coming back and to keep serving. So, yeah, it and so all most of those promises have come true for me, and I'd like to remember them, but I think I forgot a lot of them. But I read them, too, fairly often. But I just go by one day at a time, 20 years sobriety right now, and one day at a time. And what I think about is I've got a daily reprieve from lust, but it's got a contingency on it. It's based on my spiritual condition and what I'm going to do today for my spiritual condition. You know, what I'm going to choose to look at, what am I going to choose to internalize, what do I have on my list of positive things for sobriety today? So I do renewals every day. I imagine you've seen the big old long threatening list of about 15. You think, oh my gosh, you can go through that in one day. I've been doing it with a guy for 18 years. Same guy. Back east, he moved. He moved away. I don't know if it's my fault he moved or not. But anyway, he's gone. And I just talked to him the other day, you know, and I was talking to him about doing the audio, and I said, you know, it might not work out. And he says, well, there's an old AA adage, you know, it'll work out. And if things go wrong, it'll work out. And it tends to work out, you know. And so if I take my hands off of it and don't get anxious over it and let my higher power take over, and also realize that there's other people that have put on a wonderful conference, and, you know, there's other people involved with this. And so, and my higher power is involved. So it gets done, and it gets done supremely well. I'm very happy to be here this year. Anyway, I think I'll stop with that probably, but my idea was just that basically I've got to watch every day that even though the promises are coming to me, I need to be available to people to serve. I've got a sponsee up there finally. I was fired by another sponsee I had for a while. But that happens, you know, they come back and forth. And they grow that way, too. They grow that way. So I got one up there in Bakersfield. I moved away. And first year, I kind of just had vacation. No meetings, no sponsee, but I did my renewals during the day. And boy, that gets lonely pretty fast. You need the face-to-face work on that. So anyway, That's it. I think I'll just stop there. Grateful to be here tonight, today, and I hope you have the rest a good conference for the rest of the time here.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard. Oh no! I have to time you. Oh no!
I'm gonna use this. If that's
okie dokie. Go ahead.
I'm not as tall as these others. Oh yeah, I'm the shorty. Okay, Jack, sexaholic.
Jack.
It was really interesting when I saw the title. At first, I thought it said the 12 promises. I said, gee, I never heard the 12. I heard the 12 steps. I heard the 12 traditions. You know, but then it just says the promises, you know. And I guess I never really paid too much attention to the promises. You know, I was so stuck. I got to do the 12 steps. I got to do that. And I got to make sure we are adhering to the 12 traditions, make sure that's done. You know, I never thought, well, what the hell are the benefits of doing that? Oh, yeah, the promises. You know, that's not bad. I'm going to take that home. I'm going to enumerate them. How many promises do I have and take them one at a time? There's two words that I'm really fond of. One is the word bask, B-A-S-K, and the other is ponder. And, you know, I've come to learn a lot about that because it's so easy. It's so easy to go through life and not appreciate, because we were talking about appreciating your life. You know, we all have a terrible life. No, you don't have a terrible life. You got a lot of things going for you. And that's so true. You know, so I really want to bask. And bask means to bask in the radiance of your blessings. To bask in it, to think about it. You know, don't just let it run by. It's like, you know, you go down to the supermarket and you go down the cereal aisle and you see multiple sorts of, oh my God, how many kinds of cereal can there be? You know, there's so many of them. You know, we don't realize how blessed we are. We have all these options, you know, and then ponder. Sometimes I have to just sit down and I got to take time and ponder the blessing that I have, because it's so easy to take things for granted. You know, I even mentioned, I was talking to someone, I said, well, think about pondering when you got up this morning that you had hot water to take a shower. You think everybody in the world has hot water to take a shower? And if you don't think that's a blessing, try taking a cold shower next time, you know, and you'll see how much of a blessing it is. So I think that's a part of the recovery, I think, is also the ability to appreciate and to take consideration of the blessings that you have. Because, I mean, I have sexaholism. I could have terminal cancer. I could have had a stroke and it can no longer walk. There's so many different things that you could have. So at least I can do something about my sexaholism. There are things that people have. They can't do a damn thing about it. They have no choice. You know, maybe they're disabled, they lost a limb, they have a very serious cancer or diabetes or whatever. You know, thank God I don't have that, but I appreciate the things that I have, and I just take time to do that. I take time to thank Richard over here. He's my first sponsor. God bless his heart. He really helped me a great deal. God bless him, and thank you for all that you do. For SA with all the every year at the Unity conferences. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Bryce Sexaholic, I'm going to double dip. One of the things I do as a sponsor is I periodically, it's not like a timed thing, but I bring my sponsees back to step three because I forget very quickly what the step three commitment is. And even though I do the prayer all the time, I forget what the prayer is really about. And especially as my sponsees are in step six, going about to go on to step seven, and some of them are in step seven right now, I remind them, like, there's a terrible, terrible commitment in this program. And because it's, you know, it starts out as like, oh, I want to get sober and da-da-da-da, but then the third step prayer, right? God, I offer myself to thee. Not my defects of character, not my lust, me. All of me, right? And then step seven prayer, right? I'm now willing that you should have all of me, the good and the bad. And the way my sponsor describes it, he's like, Bryce, you're giving all of you to God, the good and the seemingly bad. And right, and it says here, like, you know, I ask that you now remove from me every single defect of character, which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. And my sponsor has reminded me over and over again. He's like, Bryce, if God has allowed some of your defects to remain in this moment, he's like, that's because they are not standing in the way of my usefulness to others. And he's like, some of your defects remain so that you can remain relatable. Actually, John shared about some of that already. And my sponsor's like, Bryce, part of the way we relate is because your anxieties are the same as my anxieties. And I can relate with you. And he's like, that's why my anxieties have remained. They're torturous. But the real point I'm trying to get at is because when I got into this program in the early days, and the early days really for me was like the first 4+ years of sobriety, I thought this was a salvage operation. I thought, here I am, I'm a junk wrecked car, and God is going to sift through it and say, well, buddy, at least your clutch is okay, and your right turn signal is okay, so I'm going to pluck those out, and unfortunately, we're going to throw the rest of you away, and we're going to build a new car around this. And I was like, well, at least I'll be a new car, right? And you know, in a sense, that analogy isn't entirely wrong, but it's very negative, because the notion then is, Bryce, you're a piece of junk, right? And I've heard people talk about how their sponsors have pointed out, it's like, you think you're a failure, you think you're a loser, you think you're scum, and that's not what these prayers say. These prayers aren't about, Bryce, you're a wreck, you're a loser, you're scum, and I love the step seven prayer, because God's like, I want all of you, the good and the bad. I need it all. I'll put it all to good use. And that distressed me greatly. I'm like, how could he value all of Bryce. But it's like, yeah, the defects of character are critical because it makes me relatable. I went to the bank a few months ago, and I did not want to go to the bank, but I had to deposit my seventh step for my meeting that I'm the treasurer of. And I was not feeling good. And I went up to the lady at the counter, and she's like, how are you doing today? And I told her, I got to be honest. I'm feeling a lot of anxiety right now. And she's like, oh, I get it. Don't worry, I'll take good care of you. And it's like, wow. So I led with my weakness, and guess what? Someone could relate, and she thought it was funny. And we had, you know, and she did help out. And so, like, if I change my perspective, I'm not this piece of junk. I'm not this garbage human. I'm deeply valued by my higher power. And I try to remind myself, like, Bryce, like, you are in a program specially designed for you, not just for me, but for me. Why would God help this program exist and support it and make it happen? And it's because I'm important. And every person in this program is important. And so when I think of the various people in this program, particularly when I think of the women in this program, it's like they're here for the same reason I am. They're trying to save their lives. Some of them are desperately trying to save their marriages. And it's like, what can I do to be supportive of all the people in this program, including the women? It's like, well, I can be supportive. I can cheer them on as they find sobriety, get sobriety. You know, I can bring happiness and joy because I've recovered enough to have happiness and joy. And I can lead with my weaknesses, my defects, because they're useful to people. And so to me, that is part of the promises of this program. It's like, Bryce, you're not a piece of crap. Because boy, oh boy, do I think I'm a piece of crap. My next weekend is my 35th high school anniversary reunion, and I don't want to go. And I don't want to go because I think I'm a piece of crap. And I think no one wants to see me there. And people have been steadily reaching out. I was like, you're going, right? And I haven't heard from some of these people in, you know, decades. And just to hear that, it's like, Bryce, like, how other people perceive you is not how you perceive you. And I've got to trust that their perception of me is more accurate than mine. Right? They're not insane. I'm the insane. I'm the one with the insane thinking. So, like, how would I trust their perception and that I am an important person in the eyes of God and that all of me is of value? Thanks, Bryce Sexolic. Does anyone else want to share or get current or anything? There we go.
Michael, sexaholic.
Michael.
I'm currently on my step one. I've been in step one for a while. And just hearing about the promises, I think, it was really kind of difficult to, like, think about. Because I also could relate, just having like a negative self view and, just always, kind of looking for, like, I guess, like, the negative outcomes, you know, like, eventually, this is going to go bad or I don't deserve this. And, focusing on my past. And so, you know, like, as an excuse for me to act out. And so hearing the promises, I guess more recently I come to really kind of yearn for those promises, you know, kind of hope, like, hey, you know, I do want these promises, you know, more than I've wanted them before, you know, and would love that, because I feel like that's what I need. I need to be not necessarily, like, feel good, but I guess I don't want to stay where I am. And just kind of help me to see with your shares as well, kind of like what life can be like, you know. And I think, it's kind of funny. It always reminds me, like, a movie, a scene, and, like, the Thor and Loki, and it's like, his brother always betrays him, And then one time he expects it, and he tells him, like, it's like, Loki, like, you know, like, I kind of expected this from you, but it's like, I thought you would grow. I thought you could, you know, thought you could be more, you know. And that last line always just hits me. It's like, you could be more, you know, Michael, you could be more, you know. And like, you know, as much as sometimes I think I'm a piece of trash, sometimes, you know, it's like when I hear that I could be more, it's just like, I don't know. Then it's like, is that not for me, you know? Because I think I could be more, you know, or at least, yeah. So with this program, you know, with the higher power, you know, I'm sure, like, you know, come to believe, or at least be willing to believe that these promises are for me if I work my steps. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Michael. We do have more time for sharing, but if you did not have a chance to share, please find someone after the meeting to talk with. This is an anonymous program. Please keep the names and shares you've heard in this meeting to yourself. Our experience teaches us that attending meetings, working the steps, and giving and receiving sponsorship are key elements to maintaining our own sobriety. Would anyone willing to sponsor or temporary sponsor, please raise your hand. Please note, ID badges with a blue dot indicate those willing to sponsor or temporary sponsor. This is an anonymous program. Please keep the name, email address, and phone number of anyone you meet or learn about in SA to yourself. What we say here, let it stay here.
Hear, hear.
I have asked a volunteer, not yet. I'm going to ask John to read a vision for you.
Okay. John Sexaholic.
Hi, John.
Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. Okay.